good evening, good morning, good night. I've got those in the wrong order, but welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete Everett, and today we're going to unpack a little about how Google makes money and how this affects you as an agency owner or somebody that delivers SEO to clients. See, one of the things that gets misunderstood a little is that there is essentially an inherent cost to ranking in the search engines. You see, you either pay a direct advertising cost through ad spend and running Google ads to appear at the top of the search results, or you pay through the time and effort to rank organically. And if you're a client of ours, another option is to employ an SEO professional like us in order that they may help you, or we may help you rank organically in the search engines. And essentially the cost there comes that you pay us because our knowledge is greater than your knowledge, and therefore we will hopefully get you to rank in the search engines faster than you would do on your own. Understanding how Google makes money can really help you fast track your organic SEO objectives. You see, Google makes money by running ads. In order to charge a premium for those ads that appear at the top of page one and underneath and indeed on other pages, it needs to ensure that the top 10 results, the results that are on page one, are the best results it can find for a given search term. Because if they weren't the best results on the internet, if they were just any random set of 10 pages, why would people bother to pay to be above them? That's basically the crux of the matter. So if for just 1 minute you start to think about Google as an advertising platform rather than a search engine, all of a sudden some of the data, some of the numbers, some of the strategies and decisions that you may make will change a bit. Because ultimately what you need to do with any piece of content that you're trying to rank on the search engines, be it organically, be it for a client or for your own agency stuff or personal brand or whatever it might be, what you really need to try and commit to do is to help Google make money by selling better advertising. Now that sounds nuts. That sounds absolutely insane. But really, if you think of it from Google's point of view, that is a far more commercial way, a far more logical way of it making money. And that is, Google's a business. That's what it's designed to do. It's a money engine. Now, what Google does in order to find those results is it doesn't only look at keywords, but it also looks at a whole host of things. But the main focus of that is user intent. So by understanding the terms and crucially the intent behind those terms that people are paying for, you can be way more focused with your keyword research and your content creation process, your backlinking, your on-page SEO, all of that kind of stuff for either yourself or your clients. But then you will read online, but Google doesn't use keywords anymore. Well, that's not exactly true. You see, Google, as I've just mentioned, has moved to show results that are far more based on users' intent than purely on a keyword metric. However, you can't get away from the fact that anything to do with search starts with the user and what they put into the search engine, regardless of whether they type it or whether they say it. So it's really not a case of does Google use keywords or does Google not use keywords. It's really a case of it all starts with keywords, but it's a little more optimized than that. That's maybe a good way of putting it. So let's understand the different types of user intent. There's four different types of user intent. The first is commercial intent. So keywords or phrases that would rank as for commercial intent, these signify that there's a drive by the user to act, to commit right now. They are going to either make a purchase or an inquiry as a result of what they have typed in for the search engine. The second type is informational intent. So these people aren't willing to buy. They are researching. They are trying to find what options are available, look at the benefits, the pros, the cons. They're right at the top of the funnel. They aren't in a position to buy. The reality is they're not going to buy or inquire from you by visiting your website. Not on this visit anyway. They may in future, but the purpose of this content is to educate them, to give them the good, the bad, and the ugly about whatever the search term is about. The third type of user intent is transactional. Now, transactional kind of sits in the middle of the previous two. So this means that this probably isn't the user's first time looking into this subject. They have a background of knowledge. They are probably looking to deepen that knowledge a little bit. But actually, if you did show them the right stuff, they may be convinced to either buy or inquire or whatever the conversion action is at the end of it. So it kind of sits in the middle. And then the final type of user intent is navigational. Now, these are people that are just trying to get around the internet. They know what they want. They know where they want to be. They just don't want to type a web address into the browser address bar. Instead, they simply search for a brand name or a exact product or topic or whatever it might be. They know where they're going. They just can't really be bothered to type out the whole address, or they can't remember it, whatever. Now, all of this information that I've just mentioned above, you can get through the keyword research software. You can glean some of it from AdWords and suggested searches and those kind of places. But the tools I've long recommended are SEMrush, if you can afford it. And if you can't afford it, then Mangles. And if you can't afford that, then something like SE Ranking that's a little bit cheaper. SE Ranking used to be free when I started recommending it, and it was kind of the free alternative. And unfortunately, it isn't. They've been too successful for that now. But it is far cheaper than SEMrush. All of those tools will give you indications of whether keywords or which type of intent keywords are related to. And if you include that and you include the cost per click data in your keyword research so you can see what people are paying to be on page one, one caveat to that, the software will not give you what the bid is to be at the top of the page. It's a bidding war. What the software gives you is the bid to be on page one. So that's right at the bottom. That's underneath all of the results. You get four ads at the top, then 10 organic results, then normally three ads underneath. So this is to be the seventh ad on the page, the 17th placement on the page, essentially. That's the number you get. Typically, to be in position one, you're normally looking at adding somewhere between 20 and 25%, but some markets are more competitive and people will be paying more than that. So just a caveat on that. But you can get all of this information through your software, as I say, and when we run keyword research, we include the keyword, we do include the intent, we include the keyword difficulty, we include the competition level, and we include the cost per click for, as I say, to be on page one. And all of that information put together gives us all of the information we need in order to make educated decisions about the keywords. So as we come into land, once you've got all this information, what the hell are you supposed to do with it? Well, basically, at least one of three things, if not more than one of three things. The first thing you can do is make decisions on which keywords you're going to attempt to rank for and which keywords you're not going to bother with. The second thing you can do is you can then create versions of your keyword for different types of intent, especially once you understand a client's sales funnel. So you may have a core keyword, a short tail keyword. You know, if the client's selling trainers or training shoes, it could just be that. You can then start to create versions of content around different intents to do with that keyword. So actually, rather than one piece of content, you might be creating three or four. Then finally, you can be laser focused on what is going to move the bottom line for your client the fastest to demonstrate a return on investment or an ROI. And this kind of really hooks into the agency thing. Because you see, from an agency perspective, our clients are hard won. And when you've won a client, if you know, there's always that nervousness over the first 2 or 3 months that you have to prove yourself. If at all a client gets over, if ever a client gets overserviced, it's normally in that first 3 month window. And that's because as the agency, you will be giving off this aura of confidence and you know, professionalism, but underneath you will be paddling like crazy in order to make sure that this client doesn't get cold feet and leave. If you understand the concept of buyer's remorse, and if you have ever sold high ticket items, you've probably come across that. That is a real concern when you're selling SEO retainers, selling retained agreements to clients. So, and normally once you get past that first 3 month window, outside that first quarter, then things start to settle down and calm down. And the more you build trust in a relationship with your client, the less you need to worry about it. Not that you ever don't need to worry about it, but the less you need to worry about it. But in that first window, you need to demonstrate what is the quick wins. That might be, I'm going to coin the phrase low-hanging fruit, the easy things to rank for. But actually, you know, a lot of clients, if you say to them, well, hey, look, we now ranked you for 37 more keywords and you're in the page one for all of them. If that hasn't actually directly affected their bottom line, if they haven't made any more sales or received any more inquiries from it, they're probably not going to be that blown away. So you need to hit that balance. But by understanding a user's intent and whether you're going for commercial, informational or transactional, maybe navigational, but we don't normally bother with too many of those, you can really start to focus in on what your priority is so that you can keep the clients happy, you can demonstrate that ROI, and ultimately that pressure will be released off you. So that's basically how and why Google makes money and how it affects you and how user intent really can be a key part of unlocking your own SEO strategy or the SEO strategies you put together for your clients. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have and you want to do a brother a favor, please head over to iTunes and leave me a review. If it's a 5-star review, even if it's a 4-star review, that would be absolutely amazing and I would really appreciate it. If it's any less than that, please don't bother heading over to iTunes. Why don't you just drop me an email and let me know what your concerns are and I'll take it from there. Show notes for this episode are available. Please check them out. There's more information about everything that I've spoken through in the show notes. And if you want to have a discussion about this, if you want to engage, share your experiences, then please head over to our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. And I would be delighted to see you in the Retain FM group. This is Pete Everett, and I will see you next week.